Tecovas.
Hey guys, I want to talk to you about my Tecovas cowboy boots. I picked them up while I was in Austin, Texas. I had this event I had to go to that night. It was a formal thing. I had this idea of what I was going to wear, but I needed the one extra thing. And I was like, aha, Tecovas. There's a Tecovas here in Austin. The dudes who worked at the store were great. I found the exact boot I was looking for. This boot is called the Dylan. I got it in midnight black. I wore them to this formal event. I had on a suit. And then tonight, I'm going to wear them with jeans to my son's baseball game. These things are amazing cowboy boots. They're super comfortable, and I can tell already that they're going to last for a long time. A couple things you can do here to check out Tecovas. If you can, stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink or two. The experience is awesome. You can shop all the new styles. You're going to smell that fresh leather in the store. The friendly staff are going to be at your service. They're going to take care of you. They're going to make you feel like a rock star. A lot of the Tecovas stores have these leather custom branding services to make your boots truly personalized. They put on regular live music and events. It's an awesome in-store experience. So if you have the opportunity to check out a Tecovas store, I highly recommend it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Disgraceland is brought to you by Disgraceland All Access. Disgraceland All Access membership is your chance to support the show and get ad-free listening, an exclusive scripted episode every month, and exclusive bonus content every week, plus access to an always-on chat with me and your fellow discos. Visit disgracelandpod.com/membership or just click on the link in the show notes for this episode. Hey, discos, you can listen to an extended version of this after-party episode by becoming a member of Disgraceland All Access. Just go to disgracelandpod.com/membership for more details and to sign up. Hey guys, welcome to Disgraceland, which is brought to you by Double Elvis. This week, we have our episode on Heath Ledger in the Disgraceland feed. And for our All Access members in our Patreon and Apple subscription feeds, we have episodes on Lane Staley of Alice in Chains and Hunter S. Thompson, as well as a brand new episode we have coming up next week on Basquiat. Be sure to make sure that you're all signed up for our All Access content, either on Apple Podcasts or on Patreon, so that you can hear those episodes. It's the only place you can get them. And over in the Musicland Stories feed, that's our fictional show for kids and families, we're rolling right along with our second season, our underwater season, with episode 7. That's out right now. Check that out. All right, let's do this bonus episode. Hey, discos. Need a little more Disgraceland in your life? Just a touch to get you through? Yeah, me too. This is the podcast that comes after the podcast. Welcome to Disgraceland, the after party. Welcome to the Disgraceland bonus episode, a little thing we like to call the after party. This is the show after the show, the party after the party, the bridge to get you from one full episode of Disgraceland to the other, the backyard to dig into the dirt. On this episode, we are talking about this week's full episode of Disgraceland on Heath Ledger, favorite fight scenes from our favorite films, the sources that we used for our recent episode of Disgraceland, which helped us uncover one of the wildest paparazzi stories that we've ever heard. This one, of course, on Heath Ledger. And of course, we're getting into your voicemails, your texts, your DMs, and more. And as always, a whole lot of Rosie. All right, discos, let's get into it. Where is the line, and how do you know if you passed it? That's the question. I've been close to the line. I think most of us have. I'm sure some of us, though, never have, and I envy you. But who among you has walked up to the line and stepped over it, either willingly or unwillingly? The line is madness. The line is extremism. The line is addiction. The line is obsession. The line is many things. You know it when you approach it.
For me, it would always show up at about 5 a.m. in some stranger's kitchen. Most recently, however, it's shown up in my work. How far do you go? How high do you try to jump? Knowing that the more you try, the harder the pain when you fall or fail. We've discussed countless musicians who've crossed the line. Murderers, cult leaders, addicts. And of course, we've also discussed numerous actors who've crossed the line. Now, musicians tend to cross over like most people we know, and most people we know we recognize. The musicians incorporate their extreme behavior into their lifestyle. This, as you know, can be very scary. When the successful or even struggling songwriter suddenly thinks he's Jesus and starts a real-life cult, well, paging Mr. Manson. But actors tend to cross the line for their craft. Many make it back over the line to become themselves again. Most do, to go on leading happy lives as family men and women or whatever. But of course, many do not. We've all heard the stories of actors famously committing themselves to their roles, in many cases to achieve staggering creative success. Jamie Foxx gluing his eyes shut to play Ray Charles. Nick Cage having his teeth pulled without anesthetic for his role in Birdie. Robert De Niro breaking Joe Pesci's rib in Raging Bull. Ouch. Christian Bale, of course, losing 65 pounds, living on only an apple and a coffee a day to prep for his role in The Machinist. All these actors went further than was ever expected of them to make the roles that they were playing more authentic, more believable, more relatable, crossing the line with their method acting approach, playing the part, achieving success with sometimes dangerous consequences, and then, most importantly, crossing back over again, like I said, to go back to their normal lives and eventually play other roles and act in other films. All of them survived. Everyone I just mentioned, Jamie Foxx, Nicolas Cage, Joe Pesci, Christian Bale, Robert De Niro, Heath Ledger did not. He crossed the line, and it seems he wasn't ever able to fully make it back. Many elements contributed to Heath Ledger's death at a young age, but his death coming on the heels of his obsessive research into and commitment to his role in The Joker in 2008's The Dark Knight is no doubt a key contributor. To say the role killed Heath Ledger is unfair and inaccurate. It's not like Heath Ledger didn't have agency. He did. But I believe while researching the role of the Joker, some internal tripwire in Heath Ledger was triggered. Some line was crossed, and he never made it fully back. You can hear all about the results in this week's full episode of Disgraceland. However, one of the ways in which Heath Ledger's incredible research and commitment to the role manifested on screen in The Dark Knight is during the famous fight scene between his character, the Joker, and Christian Bale's Batman. The results are violent, to say the least, painful, super real. And again, you can hear about it in this week's full episode of Disgraceland on Heath Ledger. But it got me thinking about some of the greatest fight scenes in Hollywood history and trying to nail that list down to my five favorite fight scenes. And whoa, was this not an easy task? It is really an impossible task. Think about it. Think about how many great fight scenes there are in films, even movies that aren't action movies. Comedies have great fight scenes sometimes, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to try to do this. It doesn't mean I'm not going to ask you for your five favorite fight scenes either. I am. But first, here are mine. Number five, Leonardo DiCaprio versus the bear in Revenant, because I'd never seen anything like this before, and it's indescribably violent and harrowing. I'm not even going to try to explain what this is. It's just literally Leonardo DiCaprio's character versus a massive bear. And they get in a fight, and it's fucking unbelievable. You have to watch this. Like, if you have not seen it, I guarantee you, you've never seen anything like it before. Number four, Batman versus Bane. That's right, not Batman versus the Joker from The Dark Knight. Why? I don't know. To be honest, I was kind of Heath Ledgered out by the time I got around to researching this fight list. So there you go. Number three, the Hanson brothers versus everyone from Slapshot. This might be my favorite, probably the funniest and most absurd, but I had to hold it at three for reasons I'll explain right now. Number two, Tommy and Jimmy versus Billy Bats and Goodfellas. I know this is going to get some of you pissed off at me because it's not much of a fight. It's more of an ambush. But the Donovan song playing in the background, contrasted with Scorsese's violence, makes this one hard to top for me personally. And, okay, speaking of personally, and number one, the greatest fight scene in the history of Hollywood film. This is so stupid. It sounds so dumb coming out of my mouth trying to actually narrow this down to five, and never mind one. The number one fight scene, though, from my point of view, Rocky versus Apollo Creed in Rocky. Why? Okay, it has nothing to do with boxing. It has nothing to do with how it's shot. And yes, I know that the fight scenes in Raging Bull and in countless other movies are better than this fight scene. I know that by the end of Rocky, we're not even sure who won. I mean, let's be honest. Can you actually remember? The reason Rocky versus Apollo Creed is the greatest fight scene of all time is because of one word: love. By the end, when Rocky is so beaten and battered that he can barely stand, he made it, man. He went the distance, which is all he wanted to do. And in that moment, his greatest and most triumphant moment, the moment where he personally persevered to slay his dragon, in that moment when the eyes of his beloved hometown of Philadelphia and of the world are shining down on him favorably, when Rocky succeeds in becoming the one thing he most certainly wanted to become, which is someone who wasn't just another bum from the neighborhood, in that great moment of personal triumph, what does Rocky do? He cries out for Adrian. He doesn't want glory. He wants his girl. It's love, 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 and more love. It's all Rocky needs. And Rocky is the greatest love story ever told because love is all any of us need. And so when the greatest love story culminates with a fight, that fight scene must therefore be the greatest too, right? Right. I don't know. Seems logical to me. Fight me if you don't agree. Actually, don't. I'm not resorting to violence for my work. That would be crossing the line. So let me know your five, just five favorite fight scenes from Hollywood history. 617-906-6638. Voicemail and text. I'll be back in a flash. Okay, listen, if you're one of the few people out there who's new to podcasts, new to Disgraceland, new to true crime, if you have not already listened to the wildly popular and hysterically funny and informative podcast, My Favorite Murder, hosted by my friends Karen Kilgariff and Georgia Hardstark on the Exactly Right Network, then what are you waiting for? You got to check out My Favorite Murder. In each episode, they're going to tell you stories about infamous serial killers, cold cases, incredible survivor stories. And listen, these guys are wildly popular for a reason. They have an incredible chemistry. They're hysterical. They're smart as all get up. And you're instantly going to feel like they're long lost friends. They've got great new episodes on the subjects I've already mentioned, but they've got this whole treasure trove of back episodes, including well-known stories from true crime and music history, like the deaths of Sid Vicious and Nancy Spungen, the murder of pop singer Selena, and now the infamous story of the Cocaine Bear. I've known Karen and Georgia since the beginning of my sort of foray into podcasting. They've been heroes of mine. I was on their podcast in March of 2022 to share my hometown story about a prison break party that I attended in high school. And they told me it was one of their most popular episodes. So you can check that out as well. Listen to My Favorite Murder wherever you listen to podcasts. Brand new episodes drop every Thursday. Hey, Discos, it's Jake here. Thank you so much for listening to Disgraceland. Your support truly means a lot to me, and it's because of you that my team and I are able to make this show. If you want more Disgraceland, if you want more regular interactions with me and the community of Disgraceland listeners, or if you simply want to listen to the show ad-free, go to disgracelandpod.com/membership or just click on the link in the show notes for this episode. For just $5 a month, you can listen to every episode of Disgraceland ad-free. Plus, you'll get one brand new exclusive episode every month. You'll also get weekly unscripted bonus content, special audio collections, and early access to merch and events. There are two ways that you can support the show and become a member at disgracelandpod.com/membership. You can sign up using Patreon and listen to the show ad-free on Apple, Spotify, and most other major podcast platforms. And Patreon members also get access to all the other perks of membership and an always-on chat where I'll be interacting with you and diving deeper into the world of Disgraceland. But maybe you're currently an Apple Podcast subscription listener and you want to just tap into all the bonus audio content and ad-free listening that we're offering. We're also offering this membership as a premium channel on Apple Podcasts. However you choose to join, all you got to do is go to disgracelandpod.com/membership. Support the show for just $5 a month, $5, or sign up for an annual plan and get 2 months free. Come join me and your fellow discos at Disgraceland All Access by visiting disgracelandpod.com/membership. Hey Discos, jumping in here quickly to tell you about a new giveaway that we put together especially for Disgraceland fans. Listen to this. We teamed up with our friends at Tivoli Audio and D'Angelico Guitar, two legendary brands in audio, to award one of you a prize pack that includes the all-new Tivoli Audio songbook paired with a limited edition D'Angelico electric guitar. The songbook is an incredible vintage-inspired sound system, and you can plug your D'Angelico guitar right into it. It's also got an analog EQ and a 10-hour rechargeable battery so you can take your music and your favorite podcast anywhere. Go to DisgracelandContest.com to see the prize pack and drop your email address to enter for free. Must be a U.S. resident to win. Visit DisgracelandContest.com for full details. That's DisgracelandContest.com. Rock a roll. Let's talk for a minute about the sources we used for this episode. There are a couple of books out there that were super helpful for us. One called Heath Ledger, Hollywood's Dark Star by Brian J. Robb, and another called Dark Joker, Heath Ledger's Joker Transformation, The Filming Days of Dark Knight and His Tragic Death by Marcus Dakota. That's another one. The latter is a little tough to find. I believe it's self-published, but both books contain plenty of holy shit moments, whether it was the idea that Heath may have had a hard time shaking his iconic role as the Joker, or even the one of the most fucked up encounters that an actor has ever had with the paparazzi, but more on that later. In addition to the books, though, we used, of course, the 2017 documentary I Am Heath Ledger as well, which Heath's family participated in after Heath's partner, Michelle Williams, gave the film her blessing. It's worth noting, too, that when we're researching these subjects for Disgraceland episodes, the more contemporary the subject, the less definitive research materials you have to go on sometimes. And what I mean by this is that if you're researching a subject like Marilyn Monroe or Marlon Brando, excuse me, or Bob Marley or any other major actor or musician or artist from the past, there's often a ton of sources out there in terms of major books. And you can pretty easily figure out which ones are perhaps more credible than others. And like I talked about the other week with Steve McQueen, it's often helpful to have a few at your disposal for different points of view. But with a more contemporary figure like Heath Ledger, it can be way more difficult to have access to a complete picture. And by complete, all I mean is a portrait of the artist that has the benefit of hindsight, of time, years, and decades, in which people who didn't speak before are now speaking. New information, new details come to light that weren't available before. Oftentimes you get sources who have different interests than those who are close to the subject, who aren't, let's say, so concerned with maintaining legacy and that sort of thing. And often you get a more honest portrayal. Heath Ledger is, of course, gone tragically, but in some ways, it's going to be a while before we truly understand some of the things about his life and some of the things about his death. And I say all this not to say that researching and writing an episode on Heath Ledger is more difficult per se, but it's just a different beast. And you should know that when you're listening to these more contemporary subjects in Disgraceland. However, I think we did the Heath Ledger story justice. You know, this was originally a Badlands episode that we released a couple years ago. It's never been in the Disgraceland feed for the Disgraceland listeners. It is now. When we released the Badlands episode, I was contacted by Vice TV to be part of their series Resolved in their episode on Heath Ledger. And that invitation came on the heels of them hearing what was the Badlands episode, which we produced on Heath Ledger, which many of you are now hearing for the first time in Disgraceland. And if you're curious, you can find that Vice episode out there with me in it. It's on the internet. Just search Resolved Heath Ledger and you'll see yours truly in there talking Heath. Okay, but I want to know, what do you think about this episode we did? Where do you stand on Heath Ledger? What's his best performance? To me, it's either The Dark Knight or Brokeback Mountain. It's those two and those two only in the sort of pantheon, the apex of his career. Let me know which one you think I don't know. That's a tough one. I'm thinking about it now. Sorry, I'm getting tripped up thinking about which one I actually think is better, The Dark Knight or Brokeback Mountain. That's a tough one. It's a really tough one. And is Heath one of your favorite actors of the early 2000s? If not, who is? Hit me up. Let me know. 617-906-6638. And especially hit me up on your top five favorite fight scenes from Hollywood. Is Heath Ledger and Christian Bale from The Dark Knight? Does it crack your top five? If not, what is your top five? 617-906-6638, just like Michael from the 415.
Hey, Jake, this is Michael from Hamtramck, Michigan. You already named the greatest cover song. It's All Along the Watchtower. Pretty Woman's Fine. It's not my favorite track on that album. I actually think that the cover of The Kinks tune, Where Have All the Good Times Gone, is awesome. Killer. All right, love your show. See you, man.
Mike, thanks, brother. Yeah, we talked about those two in particular. Man, this is the subject that just keeps on giving. People don't want to stop talking about the greatest covers of all time, and I don't blame you. It's a compelling subject. But we talked about All on the Watchtower, of course, and Pretty Woman. Where Have All the Good Times Gone by the Kinks? And I can't tell. I should know this. Did the Kinks cover that from somebody else who wrote it? Or are you referring to David Bowie's cover of the Kinks? I always thought Bowie covered the Kinks. Am I getting this wrong? Let me know. 617-906-6638. Voicemail or text 814. Text in. Hey, an episode about Ozzy Osbourne trying to kill Sharon after the Moscow Peace Festival would be cool. Hey, 814. We have that episode. It's in our archive. Go search out Ozzy Osbourne. You will get it. All right. Check it out. 719 writes in. Regarding Miss Harry, referring to Debbie Harry. So I'm just going to say Debbie Harry. Regarding Debbie Harry's Ted Bundy story, : it's true. One of her besties is the jazz ensemble instructor at ICE, where my son learned how to connect reading the music to his synesthesia. She joined them on Fridays after school to sing. And that's it. And presumably 719 got the lowdown from Debbie Harry there. All right. Yeah. I mean, look, I always believe this story for a couple reasons. One, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm talking about we did a Blondie episode. A big part of that episode is Debbie Harry's claim that she was abducted and escaped from Ted Bundy in the early 70s in Manhattan. And I just did a little video reel of it and released it on Instagram. So it's resurfacing this topic here for you guys. But a lot of people, so you know, if this is new to you, a lot of people call bullshit on this and think that Debbie Harry is mistaken or lying, that she did not experience this event with Ted Bundy. And I talk about it in the video and I talk about it in the episode. I talk about how this has been disputed. However, I happen to believe it. And the reasons I believe it are this. A lot of people say Ted Bundy was not in New York at that time. Okay. Do you really know? Do you really know? Now, there is competing evidence that he was elsewhere, but it's not like we have an exact timeline of where Ted Bundy was at every moment during that decade and who he killed. There's all this circumstantial evidence that points to the fact that there were many more victims that we don't know about. Plus, there's also evidence that though people say he was not or could not have been in Manhattan at that time, Debbie Harry claims this incident took place, there is evidence that supports that he was in Philadelphia, which is like less than a two-hour drive away from New York. So it stands to reason that he could have gone to Manhattan, okay? Put that aside for a second. Debbie Harry is a very sophisticated person, okay? She clearly knows that when she puts this stuff out there and continues to defend it, that people are going to call bullshit on her and attack her credibility. And I think Debbie Harry is the type of person who actually gives a shit about her image, about her legacy. And I think if she found out that this was impossible and that she perhaps was mistaken, you know, her lying eyes, whatever it was, she would, if not corrected the record, at least she would have stopped making this claim, which she has not. And now people also say, yo, well, Debbie Harry was blonde. She wasn't Ted Bundy's type who only liked brunettes. Well, Debbie Harry actually was a brunette. She was a brunette in the early 70s before she dyed her hair and joined Blondie. Okay, there you go. For those reasons, plus, just Debbie fucking Harry, man. I don't know. That's why I believe her. 617-906-6638. Do you believe Debbie Harry? Let me know. Hit me up on the voicemail. Hit me up on the text. We're going to take a quick break. I'll be right back. We'll be right back. Heidi, 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 ho. We are back, people, and I want to dive into this Heath Ledger paparazzi story just a little bit more deeply, the one that I mentioned up top, let me clarify that. We mentioned this paparazzi story up top, and I would like to dive into it a little more deeply than we did do in the episode right here in the bonus episode. Getting tongue-tied this morning. This is happening numerous times. I'm recording very early. I'm going to go to the doctor's later today. It's kind of messing up my schedule. And then I'm taking off for a brief little vacation at the end of the week. That's kind of messing up my schedule as well. Jam-packing everything, front-loading the week here for me. So I'm recording really early, and I'm drinking coffee while I record, which I normally don't do. I don't know. It's tripping me up or something. Anyways, I digress. Back to Heath Ledger. Okay, this paparazzi story, this crazy story about members of the press who tricked Heath into putting himself in a compromising position in order for them to get secret photos that they could sell for a huge payday. This is a fucked up predatory story that we, like I said, we get into in the episode. I'm going to get into a little more fully here, but here's the thing. We're going to talk about this in the Disgraceland All Access feed. Okay, so if you're listening to me say these words to you here right now, it means that you are not a member of the Disgraceland All Access members only club, members only tonight. All right. Remember those members only jackets? We're selling them. No, we're not. But you can get into this Disgraceland All Access content. We are offering that up. Okay. The good news is it's super easy to join, and you can be listening to the extended version of this after party right now. And if you just, all you got to do, you just got to go to disgracelandpod.com/membership. Choose whether you'd like to join All Access via Apple Podcasts or Patreon. And then bam, for just $5 a month, that's it. Even less if you sign up for an annual membership, you get exclusive weekly bonus content like this extended version of the after party that I was just talking about. You also get an exclusive full episode every month, like episodes on Hunter S. Thompson, Lane Staley. Those are ready for you right now. We get a brand new exclusive episode on Basquiat coming next week. And if you choose the Patreon option, you're going to be able to join our always on chat with me and your fellow discos talking about all things Disgraceland and so much more. Listen, maybe you're listening to this right now and you're like, I'm good, Jake. I like the Disgraceland experience exactly as it is. And that's cool. I get it. I'm stoked you're here one way or the other. But if you want more, and let's face it, a lot of people, they want more exclusive weekly content, more full episodes. If you want ad-free listening, then head on over to disgracelandpod.com/membership. As soon as you sign up, you can listen to the bonus part of this after party that you're missing out on right now. All right, back in a flash. All right, let's recap, shall we? Number one, there's more after party to listen to right now. All you got to do is go to disgracelandpod.com/membership and sign up to become an all-access member. But if that ain't your bag, then number two, right now, in your feed, this week's episode on Heath Ledger. Number three, coming tomorrow, a rewind episode on Marvin Gaye, who we lost 40 years ago this month. I know I said this is coming last week. Forgive me. I made the guys switch it up so we could release it this week for reasons I'm not going to get into right now. Number four, over in the Badlands feed, we've got episodes from the archive on Dwayne Johnson in the Black Dahlia. Number five, next week in the Disgraceland feed, a brand new episode on Public Enemy, plus another brand new episode on Basquiat. Number six, my number is 617-906-6638. Call me on the telephone or text me. Number seven, remember, no one cares about the music you love more than you do, and well, that's a disgrace. Now, my moment of bliss and honor this week's episode on Heath Ledger, me reading you the Billboard Hot 100 chart from the week of January 19th, 2008, which was the week that Heath Ledger died at the age of 28. Too soon. Number one, Low, Flo Rida, featuring T-Pain. Last week, one. Peak position, 1. Weeks on chart, 11. Number 2, No One, Alicia Keys. Last week, 2. Peak position, 1. Weeks on chart, 18. Number 3, Apologize, Timbaland, featuring One Republic. Last week, 3. Peak position, 2. Weeks on chart, 23. Number 13. Number 4, number one, Kiss number Kiss, featuring Chris one, Brown, featuring T-Pain. Last week, peak position, 4. One, peak position, peak weeks, position one, chart, one, weeks on chart, weeks on 17. Number 4, Kiss, number 5, two, Chris Clumsy, Fergie. Last week, 6, peak position, 5, weeks on chart.
thing and start mixing.
Cut it!